You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avner Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you today's Way of Truth broadcast. Compared to living waters. Jesus said in that last day, the great day of the feast, that they would come to him, out of their bellies should flow rivers of living waters. And he said, he spoke this in regard to the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're thankful for each one in our congregation. We pray the blessings of heaven to be upon them. We also ask for your help as we endeavor to present the gospel in song and in the spoken word. Our prayer and desire is that our broadcast service will be a blessing to souls, and we want you to be glorified in all that is said and done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Redeemed, I am, the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, the rift and the liberty. It's God and forever I am. Redeemed.
Our subject for today is broadcast, The Coming of the Holy Spirit. And our text of Scripture, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's the words of the Lord Jesus as recorded in John 14 and 16. Jesus had been with them, and he was their Comforter, but he told them it was expedient for him to go away. For if he went not away, the Comforter, which was the Holy Spirit, would not come. And so the additional Comforter, or another Comforter, that he promised them was the Holy Spirit. And this is called, from the time of the apostles down to the present day, this period of time is called the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit coexisted with the Father and Son. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. That is quite true. But the Trinity is spoken of in this verse of Scripture. First of all was Christ, second was the Holy Spirit, and third was God the Father. And though the word Trinity is not found in the Scripture, we have three individuals here, and there is nothing wrong with referring to the three as the Trinity. For what is the meaning of the words Trinity except three? So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, being a person, is invested with all the attributes of God: omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, infallibility, immutability, holiness, and eternal. So there's nothing wrong with referring to the Holy Spirit as God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to his followers. In Acts, we read where Jesus instructed the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And that promise was, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence, according to Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. This promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4. Now, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit is the most grand and glorious of all periods. It was inaugurated, on the day of Pentecost, and will only end when Jesus Christ comes to judge the world in righteousness. And we find, as we study the Scriptures, that the office work of the Holy Spirit, first of all, is the convicting of sinners. Jesus said, no one can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And the Father draws sinners to Christ through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Holy Spirit deals with you, helping you to see and to realize that you're a sinner, that you're lost, and that you're headed to destruction, and that you need to be saved, that's conviction. The Spirit of God is dealing with you. The Spirit of God is working with you for the purpose of drawing you to Christ and to salvation. The second office work of the Holy Spirit that I want to refer to is being born of the Spirit. Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus, said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So we are born of the Word, according to Peter, and born of the Spirit. And this is one of the works, or the office, of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is also an office work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost baptism, and that's, I'm not talking about talking in some other language or jibber-jabber. I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples that the Spirit was with them, but the time would come when he would be in them. And in the work of sanctification, which is a separate work from justification, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes in, he eradicates that depravity, takes up his abode in your heart and in your life. And so the Holy Spirit baptism and heart purity are synonymous terms used in the New Testament to signify the same work, the office work of the Holy Spirit. Another office work of the Spirit is the teacher. Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." John chapter 16 and verse 13. The Spirit of God, we are told, inspired holy men of old to write the Scriptures. And holy men of old did write the Scriptures as they were motivated and moved by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is still in the church today, and he is a teacher, and he will teach the Word of God just as he inspired holy men of old to write it. To really arrive at the truth of the Word of God, you need the Holy Spirit to teach you. Yes, the Spirit of God is declared to be the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of God will never teach someone wrong, never teach them error, never lead them wrong. So the Holy Spirit is a teacher. Howbeit, Jesus said, whenever he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. To maintain unity among God's people is another work of the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized or inducted into one body and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. The Holy Spirit does not divide God's people. And I want to emphasize that point because there is so much division in the religious world today, and people would have you to believe that all these different denominations make up God's church. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, is the Spirit of unity. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of unity. The Spirit of God, I say, will never divide God's people. Oh yes, the Spirit of God will help you divide right from wrong, clean from the unclean, yes. The Spirit of God will indeed work in that way. But I say, as far as God's people is concerned, as far as the redeemed, they are not divided by the Spirit of God. They are divided, if they are, by a divisive spirit, which is not the Spirit of God. Now, another work of the Holy Spirit is he leads us. We are told by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Spirit of God will not lead you contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. If the Spirit of God leads you and the Spirit of God leads me, we will be led on the same path. And that path is the straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life. I might also say, if the Spirit of God gives you an understanding of a given passage and gives me the understanding of the same passage, we will see it alike. The Spirit of God will not teach you one thing and teach me something contrary to it. The Spirit of God, again I say, is the Spirit of truth. And Paul says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Paul also said, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And he said, "If we live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Another office work of the Spirit of God is divine guidance. And this divine guidance does not make us infallible. When I speak about the Spirit of God leading us, the Spirit of God directing us, I'm not talking about us being infallible. We're still human beings. We can still make mistakes. We are not perfect in that we never make a mistake or that we're never wrong about anything. But we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a godly life. For we are told by the Lord Jesus, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he told the disciples, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The Spirit of God gives you power to live a holy, righteous, and godly life, and that's the way we are a witness. Oh, of course, we witness with our mouth from time to time, but the greatest witness of all is by living the gospel out in your life. And the Holy Spirit will enable you to do this. Again, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will give us power to become witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so one of the works of the Holy Spirit is guidance. But again, the Holy Spirit's guidance does not make us infallible. Also, the Spirit of God impresses us with things from time to time, but I want to caution you that all impressions do not come from the Holy Spirit. I'm a little afraid of people who are all the time saying, "The Lord showed me this, and the Lord showed me that, and the Lord impressed me this, and the Lord impressed me that." I get just a little afraid of that, because we are to be guided by the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And James said we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And so we do not have to have impressions every day from the Spirit of God. We do not have to have impressions from the Spirit of God to live a Christian life. What we need is his leadership. But the Spirit of God does impress us from time to time. And whenever the Spirit of God impresses us with something, it'll be in accord with the Word of God. It'll be in harmony with the Word of God. Now the Holy Spirit gives gifts to members of the body of Christ. And I want to emphasize that point also, because the Spirit of God is in the one body of Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body and there is one Spirit, and we are called according to God's purpose. So the Holy Spirit gives gifts to members of the body of Christ. The Spirit of God does not give spiritual gifts to sinners. No, the Spirit of God does not give spiritual gifts to sinners. Again, I say, the Spirit of God gives gifts to members of the body of Christ. You have to be a Christian. You have to be a part of God's family, a part of God's church, to be given a spiritual gift. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given by every man to profit with all. Not for personal gain, not for someone's gain alone, but the spiritual gifts are given for the profit of all, for the benefit of the church, for the work of the church, and for the benefit of the unsaved. For one of the gifts of the Spirit is evangelism. I'd like for you to notice some scriptures here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And notice how the Apostle Paul emphasizes the one Spirit as being the giver of these gifts. And if I read from verse 6, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which giveth to all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. So all of these gifts are given by the one precious Holy Spirit, and they are given for the benefit of the church and for the benefit of evangelizing the world, not for some personal gift. And again I say, you must be a part of God's family to be able or to be in a position to receive one of these spiritual gifts. Now, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, I want you to notice something in this passage of Scripture that I just read. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit after we have believed. I realize there are those in the religious world who teach that you receive the Spirit of God when you are saved. But notice, you are sealed. That means God has put His seal upon you, and you are His, and the seal shows the Lord's ownership of you and of your life. And that's whenever you consecrate and dedicate your all to God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We read also, when we are sealed with the Spirit of promise, everything we read in the Bible finds a free and hearty amen in our hearts. If you have the Spirit of God and you hear a man of God preaching the truth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to receive, you're going to accept what the Spirit of God brings to you. So, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When we are sealed, I say, with the Spirit of promise, everything we read in the Bible finds a free and hearty amen in our hearts. When you see someone rebelling against the Word of God and refusing to accept it, refusing to live it out in their lives, even though they profess, you are seeing someone who is not really and truly a child of God. If you are indeed a child of God and been sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, and you're going to receive God's engrafted word with joy and with happiness. I'm not saying everything will be easy. I'm not saying that there won't be a power come against you. Of course, there's still a devil in the world, and he opposes everything that is good, that's righteous and holy, and he opposes everybody that's endeavoring to do what is right. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, you have the power to overcome that wicked one, and you also have the power to say amen to the will of Almighty God. So the Holy Spirit is in the world today to do the work that the Father sent Him to do. And He is indeed a comforter, and He is a teacher, and He is a guide, and He also gives us power to live the gospel out in our lives from day to day. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Scriptures that we have brought, the thoughts that we have presented, be accepted by those who desire to please You. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, why not write and let us know? It would be an encouragement to us to know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. And remember, if you have a prayer request that you'd like for us to pray with you about, be free to send it in, and we will be in agreement in prayer with you. Again, our postal address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. We would like to invite you to be with us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6 o'clock in the evening. And I speak of Eastern time, of course, since we are in the Eastern time zone. And our services are broadcast live over the Internet. And so we invite you to go to our webpage and be with us in our Sunday services. You may also listen to a number of our broadcasts as they are there. And our monthly Way of Truth magazine is also posted on our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast. We invite you to be with us next week when we come your way with another Way of Truth program.
Oh, God.